A photo of two boys taped to a blackboard. Text appears below, to my best friend Bhargav, thank you for everything. An ambulance drives along an empty highway. The ambulance speeds over a white bridge and stops outside a hospital. A surgeon in an operating room, a curtain draws closed.
Not ready, da. Bro, I'm not ready, da. Day, I was not ready, da. I'm really not ready, da.
A man slides down a rope. He is wearing a yellow diaper. He crashes below the ground and pinballs off TV sets.
There once was a boy in Alwarpet, born with a mouth which he never shut. He's always had issues with his mummy daddy, for they brought him into this world when he was not ready. Yes, sir.
A man grins. Another man with sunglasses runs along a train platform.
Who pissed off the SRK fans? Who's a big fan of Lungi Dance?
The first man laughs in the doorway of a train.
Who pissed off the SRK fans? Who's a big fan of Lungi Dance? Who'll start fighting if given a chance?
Who'll put up with this shit if not for his fans? Yes, I was not ready, da.
Yes,
I was not ready, da.
Yes,
I'm telling you, I was not ready.
Yes,
not ready, da.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, yes, put your hands together and welcome on stage, S.A. Yes,
Aravind Sa walks on a stage with three flames in an arena full of people. He bows to them. He takes a microphone.
Thank you so much, Chennai. First and foremost, please give yourself a huge round of applause for making it to this very special show, because this is the 100th show of I Was Not Ready Da. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Before I begin the show, let me make one thing very clear. This entire show is going to be in English. You see the disappointment? Yeah, that's classic Chennai. But I'll tell you why I did this. I did this because ever since my last show went online, and just because I had used some cute Tamil words here or there, like Gothade, Gomale and all, they immediately called me a Tamil comic. While my colleagues and friends in Bombay and Delhi who do the same profession use the same cute Hindi equivalent words like Madarchod, Benkichod, Bagadike Bosna, they are known as Indian comics. The both are same country languages only, no? Why this special preference for one language over the other? So, therefore, I decide to write and perform this entire show in India's favorite language, English. But when you do 100 shows, often a lot of people are happy for you, but there are always some people in India who come and ask you the obvious question, which is, 100 shows, bro? Nothing happened, huh? Like, what should happen? Like, something bad. Like, some diarrhea before the show. Like, heart attack, nothing. How? 100 shows without break? And if you keep believing something bad, no? It will happen. And because people kept asking me like this, it did happen. A couple of months ago, finally it happened. I was in the United States of America for my tour. I went there and I had a flight to Chicago from Minneapolis, which is just a 1-hour flight, okay? And I went to the airport morning itself, evening was the show. And I went there and the airport, they told me all flights to Chicago have been canceled. And I asked them why, and they said, because there is a mild drizzle in Chicago. Not thunderstorm and all, no. Mild drizzle. You see how first world countries are. If there's a drizzle, they shut the city down. In our country, if you have a mild drizzle, the entire village will come out saying, ganane, ganane, ganane.
He turns and looks to the left of the stage, then back to the right.
But first of all, bro, so I was stuck in the airport the whole day. I went there morning for an evening show. 6 hours I was there. Then post-lunch, they said, okay, gates have opened. You can now board the aircraft. And I went inside the aircraft and I was stuck there because the flight wouldn't take off. Why? The captain said, right now in Chicago, we are having mild showers. And it was now getting really annoying for me. Not because I was stuck in the aircraft, but the aircraft was in the runway and I was sitting in the runway for 6 hours. After a point of time, through the window, I could see the sun setting. That's when I realized I have an 8 o'clock show. Hey, what is going to happen to the show? And the worst part was, I was stuck inside the aircraft for 4 hours in the economy section. And not just the economy section, I was stuck in the middle seat in the economy section. And not just the middle seat in the economy section, I was stuck in the middle seat in the economy section where to my left and right were two old white ladies. If you thought my situation was bad, imagine their situation. I am that brown thing you put in a white sandwich and give. No, that's me.
He faces the audience under a spotlight.
So, I mean, for the 6 hours that we were stuck in that runway, we were both playing the battle of the armrest. You know, every middle seat you do, no? Like...
Aravind gestures barging with each elbow.
And she's like, stop invading my private space. And I was like, you stop invading other countries first. No, I didn't tell. Summa. Only here I'm doing all this. There I can't tell. I'm in their country. Okay. So I couldn't tell her that. And after a point of time, I was really worried because I had a show in a couple of hours. I've never faced this situation before. And I needed some PR advice. And I wanted to reach out to a fellow comedian to ask, what would you do if you cancel a show? What do you tell the people, etc. But all of my friends in India were sleeping due to time zone issues, right? So the only comedian who was available, who was also a good friend of mine, who happened to be touring United States of America around the same time that I was there, was Biswa Kalyanrath. You guys know Biswa Kalyanrath? So Biswa is like a great comedian and a very good friend, and I reached out to him seeking advice on what to do in a situation. But I forgot one thing, which is that before being a friend, he's a great comedian. And here is something that you need to understand about comedians, which is that it's very hard to be funny and also be a nice person at the same time. Only Alex can do that, okay? Because for you to be funny, fundamentally you have to be a chuth. And Biswa is one of the funniest guys in our country. So you can imagine how big a chuth he is, okay? But I forgot. I reached out to him as a friend. So I was like, Macha, I'm stuck in the airport. I have a show in a couple of hours. I don't know what to do. Macha, give me advice. What do you do in this? And he was like, oh my God. Dude, this is just like how it happens in those flight documentaries. I was like, what flight documentaries? Oh, have you not seen those flight documentaries where there are a lot of drama happens before the flight taking off? There's a lot of crisis in the airport. And then finally, the flight takes off. I'm like, okay, that's a good thing only. No, it's like, no, then it crashes.
Aravind gestures with his hand a plane going down, then stares out at the audience.
Here's another thing you should realize about us, which is that as comedians, we like to give as much as we get. So when you give us a gift like this, we would like to spread it to the universe. So when Biswa told me this, immediately I thought of those two old white ladies next to me. I started making conversation with them. And she was like, oh, you're a comedian. I was like, yes, I am. Oh, when's your show? Oh, in a couple of hours. Oh my God, are you going to make it on time? Well, I don't know. I've been asking my friend in Chicago about it. And he just sent me a couple of messages. Oh, what's he saying? I don't know. Why don't you read it yourself? I don't understand.
Aravind gestures showing someone an SMS.
And then she took the phone, she read the message, and it finished by saying, and then the flight crashes. And then she was like, what was your name again? And I was like, Inzamam Ul Haq.
Aravind stands in front of the audience. His name is visible behind him.
The flight took off for the next 2 hours, full armrest I only had.
He gestures, pushing with both elbows, then grins.
Best part was the captain was, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain, Waseem Akram here. Hey!
Aravind turns to the mic stand, grinning.
See, that's why I love this job, man. That's why I love this job, because I get to travel all over the world. I meet new people. I write jokes about them. I invite them to the show that evening itself. I make them laugh at their own jokes without them realizing they are the subject. And I get paid for it. It's the best feeling in the world.
He shows a toothy grin as he turns to the right, then the left.
I think I was born to be a comedian because things keep happening to me when I'm least prepared for it. I'll give you the best example. I was born a cesarean baby. You guys know what a cesarean baby is? Yeah, basically they pulled me out of my mother's womb. She was not ready, okay? That's where the show gets its name from. That's who this show is dedicated to. This show is dedicated to the love of my life, my mother. Okay? Stop. Immediately South Indian sentiment, see? Anything related to mother?
Aravin pats his chest with one hand and smiles.
You didn't let me complete the sentence. I only said the show is dedicated to my mother. I told her the same thing. Mummy, this show is dedicated to you. But I also told her, you are never ever invited to this show. Because dedication is different from invitation. My 100th show also dedicated to my lovely mummy, but never bringing her anywhere this area. You know why? Who? Because this is not the show that you bring your mothers to. Which brings me to the most important question. How many of you here have come with your parents to the show? Please raise your hands. Front row. Ayoyo.
He turns away from the audience and drops his head, then takes a bottle from a stool that sits on the stage and drinks a little.
I was expecting 4 or 5 rows away. This is too close for my own comfort. Forget their comfort. Auntie has one big potty like this.
Aravin puts his palm to his stomach with eyes closed.
Good evening. What's your name? I'm sorry? Sanchana. Good evening, ma'am. What's your name? Bindu. Okay. Sanchana, is this your first stand-up comedy show? No. Who you seen before? Me only, yeah. Sanchana, did you take your mother to that show? No. Oh, so this time you said, Mommy, this is a fantastic show. You and I must watch this together. Sanchana, do you take your mother like this wherever you go in Chennai? Then for what hair are you bringing her here?
Aravind is seen on stage from the back of the theater.
I think I know what Sanchana is planning with this evening, because this is something that we all want to do with our parents, which is we all want to conduct the cool test on our parents, don't we? Because they must have also been young at some point of time in their lives. They must have also had the same curiosity that we have. They must have also done all the stupid things that we do. Just because today they're like, oh. We know what all Bhajanai would have done back in those days. So Sanchana's test is to bring her to my show. And maybe she's waiting for me to crack a dirty joke. So the minute I crack a dirty joke, from the corner of her eye, she's going to look at her mother and see if she's laughing. And if she sees the mother laughing for that, she's going to be like, eh.
He clicks his fingers and grins.
The day you change the channel.
He looks out at the crowd.
Sanchana, she might be laughing now, ma. But at the end of the show, one of you is going to go outside, look at the other person and say, I was not ready for this time. A lot has changed in my life as a comedian. A lot has changed in my life, especially because of one video. I'm no longer the comedian that I used to be a couple of years ago because of one video that changed my life completely. That's the video I played earlier to give you guys some context. That's the video where I talk about Lungi dance. You guys remember that video? Where I talk about Lungi dance, where I talk about Chennaites are people who know Hindi but refuse to speak Hindi. You remember that video? Yes, that video changed my life because that video is part of my show called Madrasida, which is available on Amazon Prime. And when Amazon Prime came to India and bought this show, they had one simple agreement. They said, you are allowed to upload this show on our platform wherein one clip from it can go to YouTube. And if that clip goes viral, then great, you have a career. If not, go back to your software jobs. That's what they told us. And we have no idea how to make things go viral in India. There's no science or formula behind it, especially if you're from Chennai. Nothing ever goes viral out of Chennai. So it's all about opportunism and timing. That's all it is to going viral. And I had no idea how to make this go viral. So I was waiting for an opportunistic moment. And one fine day, our ex-union minister and current vice president of our country, Mr. Venkaiah Naidu. You guys know Venkaiah Naidu? Yeah, that uncle decided to speak out of his buttocks in a press conference. When he opened it and he said, I think Hindi must be made the national language of this country. The minute he said no, I was like, thank you so much, Akhil.
He beams a smile and holds the microphone with both hands.
Immediately, social media went into outrage mode. Everybody were fighting with each other, saying, hashtag stop Hindi imposition, hashtag anti-Hindi agitation. Everybody were writing letters with each other and fighting and making big arguments. And as a responsible Madrasi and an upcoming stand-up comedian, I thought I should also contribute to this movement. So I went to YouTube, I clicked upload.
Aravin gestures clicking with his right hand raised. He is viewed from behind under a spotlight.
He did his job, I did mine.
He rests one hand on the mic stand.
Cut 24 hours later, I have 1 million views on my account. I was shocked. No, don't get me wrong. I expected this video on Lungi dance to go viral amongst the South Indians. Because if there is anything that unites us South Indians together, it is our unified hate for Lungi dance. Yeah, otherwise we are also equally racist to each other. Otherwise every day, even I am waking up looking at my Mallu friend saying, you go make tea da.
He swats with the back of his hand.
But when the common enemy is lungi dance, I'm like, macha, come, let's hug this one out. Come on. But what I did not expect was 1 million views to happen overnight. When 1 million views happens overnight, your video in India, that's when you know the entire country has taken notice of this video. Which means even the North Indians have taken notice of this video. And I was shocked. I was like, who told the North Indians about stand-up comedy in South India? Actually, wait, even better. Who told the North Indians about South India?
Aravind smirks. He is viewed on stage from the back of the theater.
And that's when I went online. Next day, I went online to see what was happening. I realized how they got to know. Because the entire digital media had featured my video, the front page of their website, like Huffington Post, News Minute, BuzzFeed, Indian Express, everyone put my video, the front page of their website, with a headline that said, Chennai comedians joke on lungi dance, outrages North Indians. You know that the journalism in our country has gone to the dogs. When they take a comedian's opinion seriously.
He stares forward and adjusts his jacket with one hand. Then holds the mic stand and pauses looking at the audience.
When they take a comedian's opinion seriously and they analyze it, and they all sit in their studios and laugh at the politician's opinion.
He grimaces while holding one palm outstretched. He scratches his head.
Hey, it's supposed to be the other way around. Laugh at my opinion, analyze his opinion. He is not doing comedy full time. I'm doing comedy, comedy, comedy.
He turns to the left, then back to center.
And the next day, I get a call from this very famous news channel. And if you think I'm going to come to such a massive venue like Chennai Trade Center and tell you the name of the news channel, then you're absolutely mistaken. But any resemblance to Times Now is purely coincidental.
He turns from left to right, smirks, and shrugs his shoulders.
I get a call from this news channel. The executive producer called me. And the executive producer was like, good evening, sir. We would love to have you tonight on our program as our chief guest. And I was like, sure, I can come. What's the topic? Sir, topic is you only.
Aravind stares ahead.
What? Yes, sir, you're the topic. You don't know. No, I don't know. Why? What happened? Oh, your joke on lungi dance. It has outraged all the North Indians. And we are discussing this tonight on prime time. See, initially, I had a lot of self-respect.
He smiles.
I told myself there is no way I'm going on national television and exaggerating all the wrong issues in our country today, correct? But after a while, I told myself, first time on television, fuck it, let's go, who cares, yeah?
He stands with his right hand outstretched.
I'm sure you would have also done the same thing if you were in my position, because it's always been a dream of mine to go in one of those debates and sit in one of those 10 boxes that they have in those debates. Take any box you want. Anyways, they don't give a fuck about your opinion. In fact, my mother got so excited that I got selected for this program, she packed a lunchbox with bajji, bonda, murki. She packed some extra bajji. She asked me to give it to the guest in the next box.
He points to the side.
I'm like, mommy, I can't put my hand outside the box and feed him. He's in a different city. I am in a different city. The minute I told her the truth, she got heartbroken because she thought the whole box was the physical structure in AVM Studios that you climb and go take your favorite seat. And I told her it's graphics, all of that. But I still went. They asked me to come to their studio in CIT Colony in Chennai. CIT Colony in Chennai is this really upmarket area. And I was really looking forward to it, dressed up really well. And I went there, 8 o'clock sharp. I was looking around for some studio or some employees, but nothing. All I could find was an old Maruti Omni car. You remember the Maruti Omni car? You know, the old car which every villain used to kidnap the heroine with? One sliding door will open and I'm adding a bit.
Aravind spins around in his spot.
Old Maruti Omni car with one dish antenna on top of that car. That back door of the car opened like this, and I peeped inside the back door to see what was happening. And there was this camera facing a chair, a plastic chair, behind which there was a green color bed sheet. And that's it. And I was looking around for some employees or someone with some professional setup to come and talk to me. But all I got was the driver of the car who came up to me. And he was like, good evening, sir. I was like, good evening. How are we going to do this interview? Sir, you're doing everything on your own. I'm like, wait, what will you be doing? No, I'll be in the driver's seat. Why? No, in case the police comes, we have to be ready to run.
He stares out at the audience.
This is how your primetime news debates are happening. Yet you people are wasting your precious time on that. But I still shamelessly went for the interview. You don't ask me why I go and all. I don't have to practice what I preach. Why are you taking my opinion seriously? So I went. I went inside the Omni. I sat inside the plastic chair and I put on the headphones. I turned on the camera and the interview started. And the interview was conducted by this passionate North Indian who opened the program saying, good evening, India. Has comedy gone too far in our country? Are South Indians becoming oversensitive these days? Is Lungi Dance really that bad a song? To discuss this in detail, we have the man of the hour, Mr. Arvind Subramani. I was like, Subramanian.
He holds his right hand to his ear like an earpiece.
Mr. Arvind Subramani, Subramanian. Savitran.
He touches his ear.
Okay, we have this Madrasi here with this Madrasi. So tell me, Mr. Arvind, how big a setback was it when you first read those comments directed towards you? How devastated were you? How insulted were you? How dejected were you? And I was like, it felt amazing.
Arvind grins widely while still touching his ear.
What? It felt amazing. What do you mean it felt amazing? Did you not read the comment section? They were abusing your father, your mother, especially your sister. It's a North Indian variety that we're very proud of out here. I don't read comment section at all. Only idiots read YouTube comment section and do a primetime news program on it.
Arvind stands under the spotlight.
So you knew this was going to happen. So you knew this was going to happen. Of course I knew this was going to happen. Anybody who uploads anything on YouTube by default will get abused. In fact, you wait half an hour and upload this episode, you will get abused for being such an irritating host. So you knew this and you still did this. You knew this and you still did this. You did this for publicity, didn't you? You did this for publicity, didn't you? Huh?
He gasps and places a hand over his mouth.
Obviously, Dad.
Arvind turns to the left, then back to the center. He is laughing.
I was like, welcome to the real world, baby. What do you think we upload on YouTube for charity or what? The minute I told him the truth, for the next 58 minutes, they didn't ask me a single question. Hey, I'm the chief guest, huh? See, that's their modus operandi, which is that they'll try to invite you to the program, give you the center box, make you feel important and all, and they'll try to provoke you within the first 2 minutes. But if you don't get provoked, they don't have a program. So the next then they start provoking themselves. They were like, nation wants to know! Nation wants to know!
He grits his teeth and gestures around with an outstretched hand. He waves.
Yeah. Nation does not want to know. You want to know.
Arvind turns to the stool and picks up a bottle. He takes a gulp, then places the bottle back on the stool.
You see, I think as a country, we are focusing on all the wrong issues. And I'll give you one more example. A couple of years ago, the Supreme Court of India directed all the theaters in our country to play the national anthem before screening every single movie. Are you all aware of that? Which is why nowadays, you know what's happening? Ever since this rule came, there are these self-proclaimed patriotic uncles who go to the theaters not to watch the movies, but to watch whether you're standing up for the national anthem or not. And if you don't stand up for the national anthem, they will behave like your classmate in school who'll be like, Miss, he's not standing, miss. Now I have to ask these uncles one simple question. You can go to the multiplexes and force people to stand even though the rule does not say that. What will these uncles do when they go to some shady theaters in Chennai, where there are some shady movies playing, and people go to those theaters with their own agenda that night? Remember, there also the national anthem is being played. There also these uncles will confidently take the flag and be like, hey, national anthem is playing, why are you not standing? And that man will tell him, sir, first let some scene come, automatically everything will stand, relax.
The crowd is sitting, roaring with laughter. Some are also clapping.
Sanjana is your mother laughing.
Arvind turns his back to the audience and gazes ahead. He turns back toward them. He is holding the mic stand, pauses for a moment.
This is just the tip of the iceberg. It's going to go downhill from here. You might want to book an Uber Ola now itself, I'm saying.
He stands next to the stool, looking to the right side.
Guys, if you want to play the national anthem in our country where Indians are unnecessarily standing, then don't play it in the theaters. You know where you should play it? Play it in places where Indians are already doing this and seamlessly integrated into Indian culture. I'll tell you where. Anytime, any flight touches down, international flight touches down, domestic soil goes into taxi mode and parks itself and comes to a stationary position, and that seatbelt sign turns off, you hear one sound note, ting, play the national anthem.
He turns to the left and gazes at the audience.
Some of you know where I'm going with this joke. The rest of you are the fucking problem, you understand?
A man and woman in the audience guffaw.
Because even though the door of that particular flight opens only 25 minutes later, Indians alone...
Aravind pauses, stares ahead, then adjusts his jacket.
Indians alone have this irritating habit of once they see the seatbelt sign turn off, they immediately stand up and touch their luggages like this.
He raises one hand in the air.
And when they are bored of rubbing their luggages, they immediately turn around and hump the passengers next to them like this.
He turns to the left and stands straight.
Ladies, it's not only you know, we also know the feeling.
He glances at the audience, his palm is outstretched toward them.
You play the national anthem. At least then this awkwardness can be addressed. At least then I'll be like, sir, I can feel it.
Aravind turns and looks up, as if someone is standing close behind.
Sir, so can I, sir. National anthem, full feeling. Sir, it is touching me.
He is viewed from behind under the spotlight.
Both of you rub your patriotism onto each other. Maathi maathi techikonga, puriyudha? Finally, all the foreigners sitting in the flight will be like, oh, honey, that's why they've been standing, okay? Oh, they're not assholes, they're just patriots, okay? See, sometimes some issues are imposed upon us this way. Sometimes some issues are self-imposed. And I'll give you one example. I'm a Tamil boy, born and brought up in Chennai, the capital of Tamil Nadu. And since I come from such a logic-loving and Tamil-loving family, and my parents, no, they made sure that I learned everything in school except Tamil. Now that lady is feeling like an idiot, yeah. In fact, thanks to the benevolence of my parents, I had the pleasure and the privilege of learning two of the most important languages in my life today called Sanskrit and C++.
Aravind holds the mic stand with one hand.
Now, don't get me wrong, guys. I owe a lot to those two beautiful languages because if not for those two languages, I would have never understood how much I love Tamil in the first place. But then, hey, I'm not hating the idea of you learning other languages. I'm all for you learning as many other languages as you want. I'm hating the idea of you learning another language at the expense of your mother tongue. That's fucked up in my opinion, okay? Especially if the reason given to you, only the 500 rupees seats are getting the feeling. Thanks, sir. Yeah. Full Sanskrit fuckers only here, yeah.
Aravind points out at someone in the crowd.
I'm hating the idea of you learning another language at the expense of your mother tongue. Especially if the reason given to you is what my mother gave me when I was a kid, which is, take Sanskrit, you'll get easy marks. I believed her. I took Sanskrit. From 2nd standard to 10th standard, I have never seen double digits in my life ever. In fact, at one point of time, the school asked me to write the answers in English. Still, I failed. Then, to boost my morale in this language, to make me like this language more, every year they used to cast me in the school day Ramayana Sanskrit play. Not as Rama or Lakshmana, that only the toppers of the language got. You know what role they came and gave me? My Sanskrit teacher will come and tell me, Aravind, you are Sita's best friend. I was like, okay, miss, I like this role, but can you give me some details? You are her emotional pillar of support. Okay, miss, I like the role. Some specifics, please. You are the shoulder she will lean on to cry. Okay, miss, you don't need to sell the role to me. Just tell me, what am I? You are the tree.
He holds the microphone with two hands and stares ahead.
Tree. Yeah, yeah, both Lanka and Ayodhya. Pretty double action, my dude.
Aravind adjusts his jacket, then picks up the mic stand and moves it forward.
But I was like, so what? I was like, so what if I'm the tree? I told myself, it's still not about the role. It's about the value you bring to the role, right? Okay, that's what I told myself, okay? As a kid, you're supposed to be optimistic. Then you become an adult, life is fucked, okay? I still told myself, no, you can still contribute to this play. So during the climax scene of Ramayana, when Rama was busy being an average Indian man to Sita by asking her the most inappropriate questions that no husband should ever be asking his wife when she's coming back after ages to see him, when Rama was like, Sita, prove it to me that you are still pure. Prove it to me that I'm still in your heart. I'm like, what an insecure fellow this Rama is. You are Rama for God's sake.
prove to me
that nothing happened between you and Ravana when I was not here. At that point of time, I was like...
He stretches out his arms to the left and right. His hands are shaking.
Bro, trust me. Nothing happened.
Aravind's arms are still outstretched.
She was simply sitting here and crying the whole time. Don't be the average Indian man. Take her back in her life. Cut. Aravind, you are the tree. Trees don't talk in this play, okay? I was like, what, miss? Trees don't talk. Miss, so far in this play, that monkey was talking, you didn't tell anything. That mountain in mid there was talking, you didn't tell anything. This bloody squirrel had a dialogue, you didn't tell anything. One dialogue, the trees tell, trees don't talk. And then 10th standard board exams came. And I studied in an RSS back school. And if you studied in an RSS back school and you fail in Sanskrit, they will call you a anti-Indian. 25 marks, take it.
He grins and points a finger toward the audience.
It's like, it's too soon to become an anti-Indian. I still have a lot of time for that. So immediately, my parents sent me to the special Sanskrit pundit in Chennai for tuition. His name was Valmiki sir. And Valmiki sir was apparently excellent at spreading the ideology behind the language and making sure students pass with flying colors 2 weeks before the exam. Yeah, basically he only set the exam question paper, okay? And Valmiki sir told all of us students very clearly one thing, which is, students, all of you go and attempt for 70 marks. And out of which you will get 35 right. Remaining 5 marks you will get, don't worry, grace marks, Sanskrit, no, God's language, God's grace, you will get it. I went, I attempted for 70 marks. 2 weeks later, I got my results. I got 95. God's grace.
Aravind half raises his right hand and grins, showing his teeth.
My principal was in shock. Valmiki sir was in ICU. The only person who remained consistent and calm during this entire process was my mother. Because when I went and told her I got 95, she was like, what happened to the remaining 5 marks?
His palm is outstretched and he has a perplexed expression on his face.
Mommy, no need those 5 marks. Let it go down. No. Come, let's send your paper for re-evaluation.
Aravind crouches and turns to the side with one arm stretched out in front. He stands back up.
Which is why in life, just because my parents made me unnecessarily learn this alien language at the expense of my mother tongue, something that I am proud to say I've learned on my own today, just to take revenge on my parents, anytime any serious domestic issue pops up at home and my parents approach me to have an adult-like conversation with me, right? The first thing I do is, even though I know only 3 lines in total in Sanskrit, the first thing I do is, I always respond to them in Sanskrit. Solli kuduthale, saavu.
Members of the audience are howling with laughter and clapping.
I always do this. Like recently this happened. My mother came and confronted me. She was like, Aravind, last night the neighbors told me that you brought some girl home and I was not there. What were you doing with her at home? And I was like, Mummy, Atithi Devo Bhave.
Aravind holds the mic with 2 hands and gazes ahead.
But Aravind, what is the relationship between you and that girl? Mummy, Mangalyam Thandunanena, Mava Jeevanayetura. Aravind, who do you think you are? Mummy, Aham Brahmasmi. But Aravind, tomorrow the society will ask me so many questions. What do I tell the society? Mummy, Ache Din Aane Wali I know, right now some of you North Indians are right now judging me very badly, saying, Are Baba, that last line was actually Hindi and not Sanskrit, you idiot. What you people are forgetting is that my mother is pure Madrasi and she doesn't know the difference between the two.
He faces forward, pointing one finger to the right.
And she doesn't give a fuck either, you understand? See, that's the thing about Chennaites. Which is that anytime you try and impose any issue upon a Chennaite, the first reaction of the Chennaite is, fuck you.
He raises his middle finger.
First reaction is, fuck you. 5 minutes later, he'll be like, actually, what is the issue?
Aravind still raises his middle finger. He sweeps it from side to side.
Fuck you. While fucking, we can have a constructive debate if you want.
Members of the audience grin and laugh.
Let's have a proper debate about it. Do we have any football fans in the house? Please make some noise. Superb. Do we have any Manchester United fans in the house? Make some noise. Awesome. Fuck you all. Debate over. Thank you.
Aravind is viewed from the side.
Okay, no. I'm also a football fan. I hate those Manchester United fans. I'll tell you why. I support a football club. It's called Leeds United. For those of you who don't follow football, allow me to set some context for you. I support this football club called Leeds in 2002. And Leeds United and Manchester United are like the biggest rivals in England. And the day I fell in love with them and became a fan, in 2002, they finished the bottom of the English Premier League. And from the next year onwards, they were kicked out. Which means their games were not shown on TV anymore. From the day I became a fan. So all my friends who were Manchester United fans would sit in front of the TV from 2002, 2003 and watch their favorite team play in the TV every weekend. I would have to unfortunately go to a Yahoo chat room and wait for an uncle sitting in Leeds in the chat room, sitting and listening to the match commentary on radio and updating text updates in the chat room, where that old man will sit and type saying, GGG, OOO, AAA, LLL, enter. And we would all reply in the chat room saying, yes. Enter. And then he would reply saying, sorry, opposite team scored. Enter. Now, this is how bad it was. But I did it from 2002 to 2007. I was a proper fan, just going to the chat rooms, just going to their website, not ever seeing one match with my own eyes. But I was so loyal. And the people coming to their website were shocked. They were all Leeds fans, born and brought up in Leeds, but settled outside. They couldn't believe a boy from Chennai is coming to their website. In fact, they asked me, dude, people in Leeds themselves don't support Leeds. What's wrong with you? But I said, no, I'm all about loyalty. I'm going to stick with this. And then they were so touched, so they made me an offer. In 2007, they said, hey, we would like to sponsor your entire trip to Leeds. Why don't you just go and apply for your visa, your match, your tickets, your flight, your stay, your food, everything is on us. I was like, wow, it was so nice of them. Can you ever imagine us making this offer to them if any of them were a Chennai Super Kings fan? Maximum I would have said is come to Triple Again, I'll take you to Ratna Cafe, get you sambar rice.
Aravind is standing. Behind him, a curtain shows ready to on.
That's how we are. But look at them. They were so sweet. So I said, okay, done. So I went. I applied for my visa in 2007. And in the application form, they ask you reason to visit UK. And I said, to watch my favorite football team, Leeds United, play. Full stop. 2 weeks later, I got rejected. And in the rejection letter, the visa officer justified his decision by saying, had you been a fan of Manchester United, I would have believed your story. I'm like, wow, what an asshole. So I took the letter, I scanned it and sent it to my friends in Leeds saying, hey guys, they've rejected me on the basis of the football club I support. I mean, as it is, the world has many discriminations, now football club as well, right? And my friends saw the letter and they were angry because they are really proud people. So they took this letter and they said, who are they to decide which club you should support? And they made a big issue out of it. They scanned it and sent it to all the UK media houses. So and next day, I was all over the UK media. Before I was an Indian media sensation, I was already a UK media sensation. And if you don't believe this story, after the show, when you go back to your cars, take your phone, go to Google and type Aravind Visa Leeds. And you will find each and every article written about me by BBC, Guardian, Telegraph, telling the same story of this poor upper middle class boy from Chennai. Living in this cramped 3-bedroom apartment. Wanting to come to Leeds, but they're not letting him. And this story became a big deal. And the next day, I got letters of support from the Leeds United owner, from BBC, from the Leeds players, from the fans. They said, take all these documents, apply again, and tell them that you're a real fan and you're a legitimate person and you'll go and you'll come back to your country and you will not overstay your welcome. I was touched. So I took all those documents. I immediately applied in 2007 and I got rejected immediately. And I called my friends in Leeds. I said, guys, I've been rejected again. I don't want to apply for a third time because if you get 3 rejections from the British High Commission, the next thing you know, they'll call you a Pakistani. And the next day, the NRC officials will come to your house and ask for your Aadhaar, passport. Not even yours, your grandfather's they will ask. So no need. So I said, no need, guys. I don't want to do this. So that's it. 2007, I said, thank you for everything. And I continued being a fan in that website. Cut. 8 years later. 2015, I've become a stand-up comedian. My first ever international tour is happening. And guess which country I'm going to? United Kingdom, exactly. And I was like, yo, I don't want this visa anymore. So immediately, I called my best friend, Bhargav. You saw him? Bhargav. I was like, I called him, Macha, you come, you help me apply. And this time, in the application form, there was an updated version, which is, they ask you, have you ever been rejected? by the British High Commission before. And I was like, duh. Body is full of rejections. Take it. And all they had to do was go to the last page of the passport. Bargo went to the last page of the passport, saw the rejection, wrote down the name and the date of rejection. And then he went and he couldn't find the second rejection. And he asked me, hey, where is the second one? I was like, it must be there somewhere in the passport. Search. He's like, no, I can't find it. Where is the second one? And I was like, I don't know. It's your job. Search properly. And then he went through the passport. And then in the middle of the passport, he saw something and he couldn't believe what he saw. And he immediately took his phone out, turned on video camera mode, and then held that page and gave it to me saying, you hold this page exactly where it is. And can you please read what it says there? And I was like, why? No. I want to record this epic moment. You just hold this. And I remember holding that page exactly where it is. And he started recording. And then I read that page saying, British High Commission grants tourist visa to Aravind Subramanian.
He pretends to write on his hand.
From September 2007 to September 2008. Macham, what is this, da? Did you know that visas are something that are given inside a passport?
He mimes looking down at an open page. Then holds his hand over his mouth. Aravind pauses and looks at the floor.
Is it? You have had an active visa for 7 years. Oh, I have a visa. Why are we applying? It's expired now, you idiot. And that's when it hit me. I did not know what a visa was until 2015. And then I realized I never opened my passport in 2007. I had no idea. I fucked up completely. And the next day, I get a call from the British High Commission. I've been selected for the visa interview. And in the visa interview process, that officer is asking me, hey, aren't you that guy in 2007 when we rejected you? You made a big issue out of it.
He smirks and looks downwards, adjusts his jacket while grinning.
Yes, sir, that's me only. Then you had applied again. I can see that we gave you, but you've never gone anywhere outside India. Why didn't you go? Why didn't you go? Sir, you gave it too late. College reopened. Your fault. Poda. I lied. How can you tell the visa officer that you don't know what a visa was? And then Bhargav dropped me at the airport and he said, hey, it's okay that you lied to the authorities, but don't lie to your friends in Leeds. They deserve to know the truth. They helped you so much and they thought you've been rejected again. Go and tell them that you were an idiot and kindly tell them the blame is yours. I was like, yes, I'll tell them the truth. I should have told them the truth.
He smirks and looks from side to side.
I wanted to tell the truth. I tried telling the truth, but the minute I landed in the airport and I saw them waiting outside for me, I was like, fuck the truth for a couple of days. Who cares? I couldn't tell them. How do you tell them? They took me straight to their homes. I had the best time in my life. That evening was the match. They took me to the stadium and we won the match. After the match, the manager came and met me and shook my hand. And he was like, hey, you are our lucky charm. We seem to be winning every time you come. Can you come every week? I was like, yes, I can come every week. Now I know how to open my passport and check for the visa. Every week I'll come.
The audience are grinning and clapping.
And then after all this, they had arranged a press conference. All the journalists wanted to meet me. At that point of time, I could not keep the truth inside me anymore. So I immediately told all the journalists, guys, put your pen and paper down. Let's have a friendly conversation off the record. Off the record. No need to get serious about this. And I was like, remember how 7 years ago you guys helped me so much for that visa and all? And they were like, yeah, you didn't get it, right? No, actually, I got it that time itself. I only understood it day before yesterday. And the whole room looked at me and went, whoo!
He turns and bows his head as he makes the high-pitched sound.
Except the owner of the football club. The owner was watching this and he couldn't believe what I just revealed. He was so supportive of me till then. He couldn't believe. So he took me to one corner and he put an arm around my shoulder and he was like, Aravind, how long is your visa valid for? And I was like, sir, some 6 months. Okay, they should give you lifetime validity. I was like, thank you, sir. Yeah, every country should give you lifetime validity. I was like, thank you, sir. Yeah, you are not a threat to any country.
Aravind is leaning with one elbow on top of the mic stand. He stares to the side.
Thank you, sir. You are too stupid to be a terrorist, sir. Since then, Since then, I've been walking freely to every country possible. And one country that I visit without fail every year for my stand-up comedy shows is the United States of America. And every time I go to any city in USA, all my friends receive me in those cities and take me straight to the comedy club in those cities because they are like, hey, macha, you're a comedian. This is the land of comedy. Obviously, you should be going to these clubs. And I was like, day, relax, relax. If there is any club in your country that I'm interested in visiting, first remember, I am 30 and I'm single. It is not the comedy club. You guys know which club I'm talking about. Sanjana, you know which club I'm talking about? Oh, she knows, okay.
He looks down, then turns away. He turns back.
I told him, you take me straight to the strip club. The minute you ask your friend living in America to take you to a strip club, his reaction will be like, hey, macha, how can you and I go to the strip club? Hey, what is this? Like, as if I asked you to strip, you take me there.
He stares at the crowd.
Finally, one friend obliged and he took me to a strip club in Seattle and I had the time of my life and I'm going to be telling you every single thing that happened inside.
The crowd laughs.
I went to a strip club in Seattle and in the entrance of the strip club, there was this big black bouncer standing there. And when he sees another black man come to the strip club, he immediately does what black people do to each other in America when they meet each other for the first time. Have you noticed this? They start doing this weird hand gestures with each other. I'm like, yo, what's up? I'm like, yo, what's up? What the fuck are they doing? Initially, I didn't understand any of it. After a while, I just pretended that they're playing dumb charades and I started guessing along with them. Two words, sounds like Mission Impossible, yes! And then a white man entered the strip club. When the white man enters the strip club, suddenly this black bouncer is no longer this hospitable. He stops him, he pats him, he asks him for his wife's no objection certificate before he can let him inside. And then when the Indian guy enters the strip club, something amazing happened. When the Indian guy enters the strip club, suddenly this black bouncer is like, Salam sahab, ab kaise ho, acha hai kya?
Aravind holds the mic with two hands. An astonished look on his face.
And even better, when I enter the strip club, he's like, Manaka sir, Tamil aninga, hey!
He turns to the side and raises one hand to his mouth. Some of the crowd are roaring with laughter.
When the bouncers in a strip club in Seattle know Shuddhi Hindi and Tamil, that is when you know who the regular customers there are.
Aravind wags a finger. He is seen from behind under the spotlight.
I went on a Monday afternoon. I thought my logic was foolproof. Monday afternoon, first day of the week, so much work ahead. The last thing in the mind of the average working employee in Seattle would be to go to a strip club. So if I go on a Monday afternoon, that means there will be nobody there from the city. It will just be me and all the resources. I will have access to all of them. Aiyya, jolly.
He holds up a palm to the crowd.
Guess which logic every other Indian in that area was also going by.
Aravind stretches an arm out to his left.
We all think the same way. Because after going inside the strip club, I did not know if it was a strip club or some social gathering in my family where I'm looking to avoid familiar faces in my own family.
He holds up his palm to the crowd.
Uncle, tomorrow, naalaiki unga veetukku vara vella poya. Their menu card had gobi 65 paneer tikka analaitra. And here is the general modus operandi of a strip club, which is that anytime a stripper approaches you, the least you're expected to do is make conversation. That's it. The least you're expected to do is be nice, say hello, because that's the job that they treat there with pride, dignity, and respect, and rightly so, because there are people who are doing their PhDs in their morning who come and work in the strip club that night because they're passionate about it. There's no shame associated with it, and I'm very happy about that. But Indians, they can't understand this. They can't even digest this. Because Indians have this superpower, which is, if we go to a country and if they don't practice shame there, we invent shame. And if we can't invent shame, then we take shame from inside our body, throw it onto them and be like, yeah, puppy shame.
Aravind hops around.
Because any time a stripper came and approached a white or a black person in the strip club, the least they did was just make conversation. They were like, hello, hi, how you do? But that's pretty much it. But not the Indian guy. The Indian man, whenever he goes to a strip club in Seattle, was reminded of the number of times Indian women in India have rejected him on unreasonable grounds, according to him. And therefore, he decides to take revenge on all the women who he was rejected by in India by rejecting the strippers who are approaching him in Seattle. Neethanda kaasu kudutha loosu koo.
Aravind holds out one hand and turns from side to side.
I saw this happen right in front of me. Anytime a stripper comes and approaches this Indian man, and she was like, hey baby, how about I take you? No ma, I can't do this. She's like, why, what's wrong with me? No, you look like my sister.
He stands with a hand raised to chest height.
And this middle-aged person walked up to him and she's like, hey baby, how about I? No ma, I can't do this. Why, what's wrong with me? No, you look like my mother, I'm sorry. At that point of time, I went up to him, I was like, bro, I need to meet your family.
He gazes at the audience. Aravind is grinning.
And then this really good-looking African-American lady, by far the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life, this African-American stripper, she confidently walked up to this Indian man thinking, I can tame this Indian tiger. And she was confidently going, she was like, hey, baby, how about I take you out? And he was like, no, ma, I can't do this. And she's like, what's wrong with me? You are too black. And she was like, but you are also black. No, I'm Wheatish brown. Don't be racist. And this entire thing was happening in front of me and I had no idea how to react to any of these things. And out of nowhere, the stripper jumped in front of me and started professionally engaging with me. And I did what every other middle-class man does when he gets turned on. I made conversation. That's all. Relax. What are you expecting? I was like, no, sit down, ma. Sit down. No, one arm distance.
He bows his head and stretches out an arm forward.
No, what is your good name? My name is Jasmine. Oh, nice name, Jasmine. What are your educational qualifications? I did my master's in fashion design. Oh, very minimalist approach. I realize this, okay. Jasmine, are you vegetarian by any chance? He's like, what? It's okay, my parents are open-minded. They can adjust. I ended up conducting one arranged marriage interview with Jasmine for the $250 that my friends paid to send her to me, and I didn't even know this. It was a surprise. And I ran for my life outside the strip club, and all my friends were waiting outside, like the Indian cricket team is waiting for a catch outside the strip club. They were like, hey, what? What happened inside? Hey, hand job, blow job, what happened? I was like, no, nothing happened. Why nothing happened? We paid so much. Nothing happened. Our horoscope didn't match.
Aravind bows his head and looks at the floor. He turns to the stool and takes a drink from a bottle.
But gone are the days where we're looking for matches on horoscope, and now we moved on to an era where we're looking for matches on Tinder, right? Are you all aware of what Tinder is? Nova. Auntie? Are you aware of what Tinder is? No? Why don't you unlock your phone, ma? Give.
The audience look up at the stage while laughing.
Okay, I'll explain. Tinder, for those of you who don't know, is this beautiful dating app, which is like probably is next to TikTok. It's like the biggest app in the world. Oh, some TikTok fans in the house. Nice. Abdiya vella amchirathungala. Hey! For those of you who don't know where Tinder is this dating app where like-minded people meet each other and they then decide to marry or date or hook up or just be friends or do whatever the hell they want to. Perfectly fine. It's a great app, but one, I'm very happy that everyone's using it. But what I could not believe was that India is also using this. That's also okay. India badly needs this app. But what I could not believe was Chennai is now starting to use it. Because Chennai is a very conservative city. I did not expect it to use Tinder. So I went and checked it out. And for me to find a good-looking girl on Chennai Tinder, I had to put the radius to 350 kilometers. I came to Bangalore.
Aravind pauses and gazes at the crowd.
And I got a match. And I asked the girl, hey, can we meet halfway in the Ambur Highway for a biryani somewhere?
He is shown from behind under a spotlight.
Because you see, normal people go to Tinder because they're looking for action, correct? That's right. Normal people go to Tinder because they're looking for action, and that's perfectly fine. But not Chennai people. Chennai people don't go to Tinder because we are looking for action. Chennai people go to Tinder because we want to find out who else from our social circle is looking for action. Because for us, that information alone is enough orgasm for the rest of our lives. We don't need actual sex and all. Who wants a chick? Information. Ah, super, okay.
Aravind is smirking as he adjusts his sleeve.
Like if a Bombay or a Delhi guy opens his Tinder account and he sees the girls there on his account, his reaction is going to be like, Divya, not bad. Pooja, vare va. Deepika, kya baat hai? If a Chennai guy opens his Tinder account, his reaction is going to be like, Divya, adipavi.
He mimes holding a phone and glances up with his eyes wide open.
Deepika, sola vela.
The stage is seen from the back of the theater.
Pooja, aya, 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 aya.
Aravind repeatedly touches his chest, then grins widely.
Because today I see the same girls on Chennai Tinder, the same girls who, when I proposed to them in school, they turned me down because Papa asked them to focus on studies. Today your Papa thinks you're working for tech development in Tinder, huh? The problem with Chennai girls is that they're a little bit too honest in their profiles on Tinder. I remember seeing this girl on Tinder. Her name was Kausalya Parthasarathi. I should have thrown my phone out that time itself. I ended up doing the mistake of reading her bio, and it was Magara Rasi Pushana Shastra Ashtamathila Sani.
He screws his eyes up and grimaces before pinching the bridge of his nose.
Who the hell uploads your horoscope as your Tinder bio? Because after flirting with her for 30 minutes, I realized it was not her who's operating her Tinder account.
Aravind is standing with both hands behind his back.
It was her mother who was flirting with me the whole time. Because my parents also got to know about Tinder in the worst way possible. My parents got to know about Tinder the worst way possible. You know where? Because my parents go to every other social gathering in Chennai because it is just an excuse for them to pass my elder brother's horoscope to anyone they meet there. Because in every social gathering, my parents are like ganja dealers, but for horoscope. They'll be standing in one shady corner, be like, hey, horoscope, 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 horoscope. Fresh start, nice train. Straight out of Kasol, horoscope, horoscope. Two for one, two for eight. And from one such social gathering, my mother came back really excited and she told me, hey, Aravind, do you know there is this new IT company on the block called Tinder? IT company, yeah. Yeah, they're into some innovative matrimonial solutions, it seems. Innovative matrimonial solutions, ah. It's like, mommy, they are not into innovative matrimonial solutions. They are into innovative matrimonial solutions. For those of you who don't know what matter means, my dear North Indians in the crowd, matter in Tamil means sex. Yeah, it matters to us so much we call it matter.
He gazes to the side with one palm raised to the audience.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't know about my brother. I don't know about my brother, but I would love to be in his position right now in life. Imagine being on Tinder with your parents' permission. Imagine innovating with matrimonial solutions with their guidance and blessings. You can actually go out on Tinder dates, and at the end of the date, that girl will ask you the question for which earlier I never had an answer when she asks you, so, your place or my place? Earlier, I would have been like, bah, bah. But today, if she asked me the same question, I would have been like, my place only, my place only. Come, entire family is waiting for you only.
He gestures, pulling someone with a closed fist.
You see, I'm glad we have apps like this making life easy for kids these days. But I wish I had apps like this during the peak of my powers. When I was a kid, young and adventurous and curious, we never had apps. We didn't even have an internet connection. When I was curious, I wanted to explore. I could not do any of these things. And I remember Tinder had a different name back in those days. They called it One Night Stand. And that's pretty much the last story that I'm going to leave you guys with. I was in college, fourth year, and the campus placements were happening. And I went out to a party with my classmates, and I met this NRA girl there. And we got along really well. And she immediately made this one-night stand offer to me. And I did not know how to react to it because I did not even know what it was. And immediately thought of what my parents told me, which is that when any time any stranger offers you something, you immediately say, Nova, no, no, you tell you, I'll get back to you in 24 hours. Please give me some. Your parents are very narrow-minded, pa. I was like, Nova, can I get back to you in 24 hours? And I ran home. I went straight home because I know some girl has asked me something. I didn't know what it meant. I trusted the only person at home. I went to my brother. I asked him, Anna, come here. Do you know what this one-night stand is? He's like, of course. It's a Western propaganda. It's against the Indian culture. It's like, why is it against the Indian culture? Yeah, maximum in India, they should call it 5-minute stand.
Aravind is standing on stage. Behind him, Redida is visible on the backdrop.
8-minute stand. Maybe if they have Muslim power, some 20 minutes they can stand. One entire night, who can stand? I was like, poo! And then I went and asked my father, I was like, Daddy, come here. Do you know what this one-night stand is? He was like, of course. How do you think you were born? No, relax, I can explain. Your mother and I, we went to Tirupati. It was an auspicious night. One entire night, we had to stand in the queue, pray to God. 2 years later, you were born. I was like, Abba! You and your one-night stand, boya gube. During such conservative times, I ended up getting this offer. And I had no idea what to do with it. I had to get back to this girl. And I was in college, fourth year campus placements were happening. So I treated this like a job offer. It made perfect sense. Think about it. The client was foreign-based. I finally had the opportunity to go on-site. I was on the bench for 22 years, okay? The job offered great exposure and instant appraisal. I said, okay. So I told her I'll come to her house. And here's the thing about Chennai. On an average day, the city of Chennai does not even give a fuck that you exist. But on the day that you're up to something unceremonious activity like this, no, entire city becomes one CCTV camera. That night, I had to get out of home without anyone noticing it. And I almost managed it. But here's one person that in your family that you can never avoid. Your moms. Because Indian mothers have this superpower about them, which is they might not know what you're actually up to in life. But during crucial moments, they will stop you. And they will talk to you in a way where they look you straight into the eye. And they will make you feel like actually they know the whole thing.
Aravind is viewed from behind under the spotlight.
And that they are just not telling you directly because they're being nice to you. Now, the same thing, my mother is a master at. That night, I thought I have escaped without anyone noticing. I went almost to the gate, but my mother stops me at the gate. She put a vibhuti on my forehead and she was like, all the best, Dakanna.
A surprised expression is on Aravind's face. He holds his head in one hand.
Mommy, do you have any idea? No, I don't want to know. All the best. Lord Hanuman will always be with you.
He glances to the left, then turns to the center, bows his head and touches his brow.
Mommy, that's the problem. Only Hanuman is there wherever I go. And then I made a rookie mistake, which is I could have chosen the 3,497 pharmacy shops in and around the 34 kilometers radius of my city. But I ended up going to the one pharmacy, which was 2 buildings away from my house. I confidently went into that pharmacy. There was a Salim boy sitting at the counter and he was like, good evening, Tambi. Good evening. What's the matter? I was like, Matra, how do you know? Hey, Tambi, it's the usual only, no? Monte Kelsey, Digene, Benadryl, Dolo 650, Astrogen, Vicks VapoRub. I was like, it's okay, Tambi, tell me. It's okay, Tambi, tell me, be honest. Buy one, Durex. Durex, buy, one second, wait, calm down, I can explain, relax. No, no, wait. Your brother usually buys Kohinoor only, no?
Aravind raises his eyebrows and holds fingertips over his mouth.
That is when I knew my family had an account running here for this. Yet they won't have a conversation with you about it. And yes, I was like, yes, my brother only, today he wanted a change, that's all, go give it. And all he had to do was go and pick the Durex and give it to me, and this show would have ended there, but that's not how Indian pharmacies work. Indian pharmacies have this fantastic quality about them, which is they like to prolong your pain, extend your agony as much as possible. The general thumb rule for any pharmacy in India is this, which is the more awkward the product is to sell, the more distant it would be from the shopkeeper. Go to any pharmacy in India and apply this thumb rule. Go and ask him, Anna, Vicks, he'll be like, here, take it. Anna, Idex, he'll be like, here, take it. Anna, insert complicated medicine name, he'll be like, here, take it. But the minute you go ask him, Anna, whisper, he'll be like, wait for 10 minutes. He'll be like, why, what happened? Now, let all the customers leave the shop. I will go outside, take a black plastic cover, wrap the whisper in that, and then give it to you. And you're like, Anna, why are you whispering? Because it is whisper.
He turns to the side, crouching slightly, then back to the center.
And nobody should know you're having periods.
Yeah, because in India, if a man goes to a pharmacy...
Aravind holds out his upturned hand.
And buys whisper. It is because he is having periods, correct? Nagarbo.
Aravind is seen from the back of the theater. He takes a drink from the stool, then puts it back.
And every pharmacy in India would also have arranged its products in the ascending order of awkwardness. Like it's like Vicks, Monte Calci, Diagene, Dolo 650, Muesli Power, Durex. So when you take the walk into the pharmacy, it's the walk of shame that you're taking. The further you go, more judgmental he will look at you. The deeper you go, he'll be like, hey, 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 innada? And every pharmacy would also have hired this underage girl working there. This poor underage girl who's working part-time in the evening so she can go support her education full-time in the morning. And this Salim boy will not go pick the condom himself. He'll pass the responsibility to that girl. And that girl will take you to the furthermost end of the pharmacy. Put one stool like this on. And then on top of it, another stool. On top of it, the third stool. On top of the third stool, she will climb and reach for the Durex at the topmost rack. And she'll grab the Durex from the topmost rack and look down from there and look into the depths of the guilt she can see in your eye. And then she will tell you the one word that you do not want to be hearing from her mouth at that point of time. She'll be like, Anna.
He grimaces, bows his head, then pinches his brow with his fingers.
Yes, sister, tell me. Anna, solli, thola. Anna, threesa, sixa, ninesa, na. And I was like...
He measures the microphone using his thumb and index finger.
Four 3x4 should be perfect for me, ma. Anna, not inches, pieces. How do I know? Nines, give me nines. Anna, what is it? Anna, ribda, dotada, striped, Anna. I don't know, ma. Check, the mother says check looks very nice on me. Anna, what is it? Anna, chocolate, vanilla, butterscotch.
Aravind looks upwards and to the side. Then he nods his head.
Black Forest, ma. Do you have Black Forest?
The name Aravind saw is seen in lights from the back of the theater.
Anyways, that night, that girl had asked me to come to her house at 9 o'clock. I went there 8:30 itself. But I waited till 8:59 to ring the bell. Because I did not want to give her the impression I come early every time. It's very important, you see.
He nods while grinning, then holds the mic stand with one hand.
9 o'clock. I knocked the door. She opened the door. She looked beautiful. We made some great conversation. And before I get to that part that you people are shamelessly waiting for... The reason I wanted to talk about this in my show and not amongst my friends alone is that it's the 21st century and these things should be normal and we should not be making such a big deal out of it like how they used to 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And I'm glad that these days we are becoming far more progressive. Because that night, I thought, wherever I went that night, I thought the police were after me. That is how scared I was. It genuinely felt so wrong. Why should it shouldn't? And that girl was so sweet. She was trying her best to make me feel comfortable. You know, she was like, so, is this your first time? And my inner Johnny Bravo was hurt. What do you mean first time? Look at this body. What do you mean? And the minute she put a finger on my shoulder like this, I was like, first time.
Aravind jumps to the side and leans his back on the mic stand. Then he stands still facing forward.
And then I had no idea what to do. I've never dated a girl in my life till then. I've never even seen a girl. That's so bad it was. And it was so bad, I had to ask some advice. I did not know what to do. I didn't have an internet connection. So I went straight to my friend Bargo. I asked Bargo for some advice. I told Bargo, Macha, I have this job offer. What is the key to performing well in this job? What is the key to optimization of all resources and maximization of time in this job? And Bhargav said, Machan, it's very simple, da. When you're doing it, don't think about it. I was like, what? When you're doing it, don't think about it. I was like, hey, for the last 22 years?
He is staring straight ahead.
All I have been doing is thinking about it. The one time I get an opportunity, you're asking me to operate outside my strong zone? Yes, that's how this works. It's not a physical thing, it's a mental thing. Just don't think about it. Think of calm things. Think of composure. Think of things that don't react under any pressure. Think of things that are so insensitive that you will not get any reaction out of them. Just think of those. And I remember following this fucker's advice. And that night, I remember immediately following that advice. And I told the girl, you do whatever you want to. I closed my eyes and I kept telling this mantra inside my head. I was like, Manmohan Singh, Manmohan Singh, Manmohan Singh, Manmohan Singh, Manmohan Singh. Rahul Dravid, Rahul Dravid, Rahul Dravid, Rahul. VVS Lakshman, VVS Lakshman. It's like, Valmiki sir, Valmiki sir, Valmiki sir. And the minute I thought of my Sanskrit teacher, that night ended there. For those of you who don't understand what happened, let me put it in a very simple way. I finally achieved what my school wanted me to do all my life. I came first in Sanskrit. For those of you who still don't understand,
Aravin touches the sides of his head, then rotates both arms in unison.
For those of you who still don't understand, don't worry, my mother is there to explain to you people. I told you, like already told you, that mothers don't know what you're up to, but the way they talk to you, you think they've been observing the whole thing and they're just not telling you the truth, right? Because that night, I went to that girl's house at 9 o'clock. I came back to my house at 9:15.
He shows 5 raised fingers on one hand and one on the other.
And my mother opened the door and she was like, what, da? You have come so soon?
He glances to the right and looks upward with eyes wide open.
Mummy, how do you know? And what, you left and I was making dinner. Dinner itself is not ready. Only dessert is there. I watched for dessert. Black forest cake only. What the fuck? I was not ready, da. Thank you so much, Chela. You've been a fantastic bro.
3 flames shoot upward behind Aravind on stage. He applauds the audience. When life throws shit at you, take the hit.
காலம் நேரம் பொய்யே ஓ கனவம் மட்டும் வையே பயமோ பிரிவோ வேண்டாமோ பாசம் பறிவே போதும் உன்ன மனுஷனாக மாத்திடும் கனவு போக நிலையும் பொய் தான் கனவுக்கான சரிதான் உயிரும் மறையும் கவர பொய்தான் கதிரக்கரைக்கும் நிலவும் மெய்தான் நலம சரியா இருக்கும் வரைக்கும் நிலவும் மெய்யா வெளிச்சம் தந்தா தினமும் காலம் மாறும் நிலையில் நிலவு பொய்யா மனுஷன் கேட்டா தப்பு இல்ல தப்பு இல்ல இங்க ஒண்ணும் தப்பு இல்ல தப்பு இல்ல தப்பு இல்ல இங்க ஒண்ணும் தப்பு இல்ல ஆட்டுறவன் ஆட்டி வச்சா ஆடுறவனும் காலம் நேரம் பொய் போ கனவம் மட்டும் வையே பயமோ பிரிவோ வேண்டாமோ பாசம் பறிவே
என்ன மனுஷனாக மாத்திடும்.
Show 100, Chennai 2020. I was not ready to.
I just wanted to tell you something. As a live performing artist, the best way to support a live performing artist is by actually buying a ticket and watching them live. And all I want to tell you people is, I hope we can all take a leaf out of this and extend the same kind of support to all kinds of live art forms like there, for folk singers and folk dancers and traditional singers, you know, classical singers and Bharatanatyam dancers and all of this. Because those are art forms that are far more intrinsic to our Indian culture. Those have years of history and far bigger and advanced skill levels to it than anything that I could ever do out here. If we all support arts, the society will be a much better place and we'll all have a lot of healthy discussions moving forward. So thank you so much for making that happen. Before I wrap this show, for one last time, to the love of my life, my mother, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to me and never coming to any of my shows. I love you. You stay where you are. I'll stay where I am. And I'll see you soon tonight. And surprise, your amma is in the audience today. You have got to be kidding me. If this surprise was happening, I'm glad nobody told me. Where is she? Inge irukangala. Ayyo, mummy, mannichiru. Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, that's the first time that she's come to my show. I am not making this up. Mami, நீ அங்கேயே இரு, நீங்க வரவே வேணாம், வரதே இல்ல. No. இது முடிஞ்சு போச்சு. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, please give a huge round of applause for my mother. I have no idea.
A split screen shows Aravind on stage and his mother sitting in the crowd.
I had no idea. I don't know which bugger managed this. 100 shows I've avoided her and I've been pitifying, but somehow she's come. But thank you so much, Mami. இந்த காதல வாங்கினதெல்லாம் நீங்க நைட் டிஸ்கஸ் பண்ணாதே கூட. புரியுதா? இதெல்லாம் சும்மா லாய்க்கி. Okay. I'm sure she'll ask me, "Amma, எந்த பொண்ணு? Hey,